Do you know what time it is? I says, I'm looking at the clock. It's like 5:22, May the 7th, 2023. That's not really what this lesson is about. We know it says you look in talking about time. There's a lot of figurative language as we think about used in the Bible. And the reason I was thinking about this lesson is that it's a very dangerous time that we live in. I mean, obviously we see the wickedness and evil, but really it's a danger of death just out there on the roads. As I think about a couple of harrowing experiences in the last couple of days. But I was thinking about this passage in Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. The Apostle Paul says, "Do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust." So we're going to look at the words in the text in this passage of Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. And the emphasis, you look upon, do you know what time it is? Salvation is nearer than when we first believe. Get some of the translation. One of the translations, I think, when we first believed, since that is the case as we look upon our lives. We can say that every day of our lives. Salvation is near. It's nearer when we first obeyed the gospel, when we believed. Since that is the case, need to stop doing dirty deeds. And as you think about maybe old songs, dirty deeds done dirt cheap. It's evil, wicked, sinful deeds, which he's going to talk about in this passage of scripture. And so as you look upon these Greek words in the text concerning carousing, kamos, is debauched partying. And you're going to notice here, 1 Peter chapter 4 and also Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, you're going to see a lot of these in the works of the flesh. It's interesting, as you look to the Bible, there are similarities, but as you think about those who are human beings and the dangers of stop doing dirty deeds with brethren. Here he talks about those that from Rome, but also in 1 Peter chapter 4, as he's writing to brethren there, he said, "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God." Keen on in verse 3, "For the time already past is what? Is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing," there's our Greek word there, "drinking parties and abominable idolatries," and all this, "they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." So as you think about parallel passage, Christ has ceased from sin. Here we need to arm yourselves with the same purpose concerning the debauched partying that you may have done in the past. He's writing to Christians here. So, well, why is this in here? No Christians would think about debauched partying. Oh, is that right? Are you sure about that? We have been given these warnings concerning the idea of carousing, which goes along with drunkenness, also in that passage, but also in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, deep drinking here in Luke chapter 21, as you think about the time frame whereby proms are going on and partying and carousing and drunkenness is going on during this period of time, And as you think about colleges taking their test, there's going to be very likely a lot of drinking going on. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, Jesus said, "Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness, and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. As you think about the destruction of Jerusalem that was going to be coming during that period of time, these things oftentimes go together: sexual promiscuity, coite, the idea of chambering, going from bed to bed, bed hopping, if you will. We're given the warning about that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the Hebrew writer says, "By inspiration, marriage to be held in honor among all. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Recognize as people are living sinful lives, we think about it as really bad in the first century. Well, it's gotten really bad in our society, and the influence upon us and influence upon our young people. And it's just so sad and tragic to realize concerning those who might be gospel preachers, those who wives of gospel preachers or elders or deacons or just members of the church that are committing sexual promiscuity. And the recognition is that some of them know the scriptures and will just defiantly disobey the Lord as if it's no consequence. Stop doing dirty deeds concerning this and sensuality. The idea of aselgia here, sensuality, aselgia, unbridled lust. In Jude, in that one chapter, we're to contend earnestly for the faith was once for all delivered to the saints. And in the next verse, he tells us why. In Jude 1, he says in verse 4, he said, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." And sometimes as I think about going away from preaching the gospel, I remember a point that I should have made before, and others who teach and preach maybe the same way. But what I meant to say back on Wednesday night on the invitation concerning talking about our license, it's sort of like false teachers, licentiousness. You can think about it this way concerning that I'm going to give you a license to sin. In so many words, basically, turning God's grace into a license to sin. And that's what Calvinism does with the faith only and once you're saved, you're always saved doctrine. To those who truly realize that, what difference does it make how I live? Unbridled lust, no big deal. Looking at pornography, not lusting after women who are now undressing in the hotter weather. And so here, as you look upon these individuals here, and they're creeping in among the brethren, and so creeping in unnoticed, and here they start chattering and started trying to influence individuals in the congregation. This is why we've got to put on, as we're going to emphasize, put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. Also, he mentions concerning strife. And what's interesting about this, whether it's false teachers or those who are preachers, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, you talk about strife, errors having a contentious spirit. Well, don't all those who are contending for what the Bible says, aren't they all contentious? No, better not be, because it's a sin against God. You can contend earnestly for the faith without having a contentious spirit and causing division. What do I mean by that? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Apostle Paul warning Timothy, gospel preacher, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I need this warning, obviously, very well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, That's healthy, wholesome words. Like we think about going to the doctor, we want to be healthy. The great physician, being spiritually healthy and whole and sound, right? The only way they're going to be able to do that is if we're agreeing with the sound words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ here, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness. He is what? You don't agree with the word of God? He is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words out of which what? What happens? Out of which arise envy, strife, there's our Greek word, eris there, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Here is concerning the greedy factor. The Apostle Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, would warn about those who have a heart trained in greed. They know how to take advantage of individuals. And here, as you look upon this contentious spirit, sometimes you think about concerning the flattering words, and here are those who cause division and disputes and have this contentious spirit, which is sinful. And also jealousy. Zealous. This can be a good word or a bad word. It depends on the context. We should be context. We should be zealous for God's word, right? But here, as you think about zealous or jealous, it's boiling over from heat, from the Greek word there, meaning. In Acts chapter 13, we see an example of this. In Acts chapter 13, here, as Paul and Barnabas had been preaching, and here, what a wonderful thing it would be to think about the whole Fort Worth here if they all gathered together to hear the word of God in one place. What, almost 2 million people or something to that effect? But here, imagine on this next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. In verse 45, excuse me. But when the Jews saw the crowds, what did they do? What did they feel? They were filled with jealousy. They were boiling over from heat because they were jealous as they saw here the influence of Paul and Barnabas with the people. And so what did they begin to do? Because what does the devil want to happen as he uses his ministers to try to silence or destroy the truth or cause division and cause problems? They began what? They began contradicting in verse 45, the scripture says, the things spoken by Paul, and not only that, and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Talking about the Jews here. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. And so when we think about concerning the temptation, you look at all this strife and jealousy and sensuality that's going on all the time. And they're boiling over, and we're talking about road rage a lot of times, where people are getting shot and killed on the freeway because somebody got cut off, and here they get into a heated argument and somebody gets killed. How tragic is that? Or going to a wrong door and your person is shot in a few different circumstances, boiling over from heat. As far as being a Christian, we should stop doing dirty deeds. Well, since salvation is nearer than when we first believed, we think about concerning our parents telling your children. How many times, children, your parents tell you need to behave. You need to behave. We know what that means. Behave. behave properly. I think back to Carl's invitation a couple Wednesday nights ago as far as properly clothing yourself there. Behave properly by clothing yourself. The only thing is, as we look upon this Greek word peripateo, I didn't write it down here, it's really the word for walking. And was studying with Brett this morning as far as when we look at that word concerning walking, it's we're talking about the way that you live. And of course, when you think about the first century, they were walking everywhere. And so this idea of walking or behaving properly, to have, we used to use the terminology, I don't know if it's used as much, we need to have decorum, right? We need to have decorum. And so immediately when you think about that Greek word there, we need to do things decently and in order. As we think about services, doing things decently and in order. That's the Greek word for decorum there. As we think about concerning our lives and behaving properly, we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Peripateo, behave properly. Walking in the commandments of the Lord. Walking in a worthy manner. Chapter 4 and verse 1. And as you look throughout the book of Ephesians and the practical part of the text in chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. And we mentioned about marriage this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And as we're going to notice here concerning here how you walk and behave properly in every area of your life, whether it's at home or on the job or with your neighbors or clubs that you're involved with, extracurricular activities, to behave properly by clothing yourself, by putting on the armor. Wow, God's armor. I didn't know we were supposed to wage war. Did you know that that word, that Greek word for armor there is an instrument, hoplon, instrument to wage war? We've got to wage war? Well, we understand, or hopefully as we've been studying through the scriptures, we recognize, especially in the New Testament, the figurative terms. A lot of times the Old Testament, yes, they waged war and they killed the enemy. And it, oftentimes you look upon a recompense for their sins as they had gone into the promised land. The iniquity of the Amorites, God gave them plenty of time to repent. But here in the New Testament, we don't wage war with physical weapons, but with spiritual weapons. And notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, as we put on God's armor, we're not involved in these in sinful activities and practicing sin. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, verse 3, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, we're going to highlight, emphasize verse 4, because that's where that Greek word is used. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Why not? That's what the world does. That's what Muslims will do. Holy war, physical defeating the enemy. What is the weapons of our warfare, the Apostle Paul says, verse 4. What do we have? They're not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What is it designed to do? Verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And so when we think about the weapons, that Greek word in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, or that English word weapons, there is hoplon, an instrument used to wage war, but it's used to wage war on speculations and everything that's raised up against not what I feel or what I think or my opinion or your opinion, but against the knowledge of God. Which the knowledge of God has been revealed. We can read it. We can understand it. We can apply it. We can cast everything that is raised up with the powerful word of God. Put on God's armor of what? Of light, of light, of using that light. What is that light going to be able to do? Well, in Ephesians, mentioned before, as we talk about the peripateto concerning walking or behaving properly, using this light, Ephesians chapter 5, you know, from the beginning of the text, we're to be imitators of God as his beloved children and walk in love as Christ also loved you. And he gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And so we're not to practice these sins that he's mentioned in verses 3 through 5. Then he says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were what? You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We've been enlightened. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and the darkness left. As we think about concerning the light of truth and obeying the truth, setting us free from our sins, and we're clean and pure and holy, we are to walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even what? Even expose them. How are we going to expose them? We're going to expose them with the light. We've been studying a lot in the book of John in the Bible class on Wednesday night about light. Jesus is the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The problem concerning individuals is that they love darkness rather than the light. Their deeds were evil, and so they don't want their evil deeds exposed. But those who practice the truth come to the light. That's what we do. John chapter 3 in verse 21. Going back to the text, we even expose them, expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. So we're light, we're practicing light, and we're exposing darkness, dark deeds. Continuing, for it is disgraceful, verse 12, even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are what? If it was completely dark, what do we want to have? So we need some kind of light. And so even if you have your phone, you got flashlight on your phone, and I want to be able to see. I can think about time. Why didn't I turn on the light and I'm tripping over steps in here? Wherever you might be, you want light. And here, as you think about all things become visible spiritually, figuratively, when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, what? Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Well, we're just talking about here, somebody fell asleep during the sermon, and so we need to wake him up. No, we're talking about spiritually being asleep in darkness, need to wake up to the reality of your spiritual condition, of my spiritual condition, rise from the dead, of being dead in your sins. If you do that, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, based upon what he just said, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. How are you going to be wise? How are you using your time? How am I using my time? Redeeming the time, the old King James would say. Making the most of your time, the New American Standard says here. Making the most of your time, because what are the days? The days are evil. So then don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I don't have time to do that. But we have time and opportunity to do foolish things. It may not even be sinful things, but here is the time and attention to all these physical things. May not be putting the kingdom of Christ first, which we're told to seek first, his kingdom and his righteousness, Matthew 6, verse 33. Necessities of life will be yours. Don't have to worry about tomorrow. Plan for tomorrow, but don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew 6 and verse 34. Going back to the text, he says, after understanding what the will of the Lord is, don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. When we think about the hymn that Carl led before the sermon concerning "To God Be the Glory, great things he had done," right? "So loved he the world that he gave us his Son." What a great blessing that is. And here, because of that, that joy, we want to understand what God's will is and not go back into foolishness, not go back into sin, not going back into evil, not going back into darkness. And so we're going to make the most of our time. And so, you know, temptations every day of our life. Don't make provisions for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provisions to fulfill forbidden desires. That Greek word there is the idea of longing for what is forbidden there in the text there. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. Brett mentioned this passage this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," that's what he means by the world. And so, understand concerning the context, you're telling me I shouldn't enjoy creation, the sunrise? No, he describes in the text what he's talking about, what is in the world that he's talking about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. He said, it is not from the Father, but it's from the world. What is happening with the world? The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Since salvation is near when we first believe, don't make provisions to fulfill forbidden desires. In Galatians chapter 5, where several of these sins were mentioned in this text. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul saying by inspiration, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Is that true? Do you believe that? No, but I can't overcome this sin, this pet sin that I have. I just go back to Galatians 5, verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by what the Spirit has revealed. Obey the word of God, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Well, here's the problem between the flesh and the Spirit. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. You notice several of those Greek words, those English words that came from the Greek words in this text in Romans 11, or Romans 13, verse 11 through 14, are in this text here. Let's see, where was it? Jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is why we're warning about it over and over and over again. As you think about concerning all the world, every day, Satan is pounding us every single day with the influence of evil, sin, and wickedness, on what we see on television programs, on movies, what you hear on the radio, the songs that you listen to that influence for evil and wickedness and of sin. The Apostle Paul warned these brethren over and over and over again. You practice these things, you're not going to go to heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus, if you clothe yourselves with Christ, what are you doing? You're not making provision for the flesh. The idea of that Greek word there is, you think about concerning providence. The only other time it's used in the Bible, that Greek word for provision there, Romans 13 verse 14, is in the context of providence. Provision. You're going to make no provision for the flesh in regard to its desires, but instead here in verse 4, in the opposite, those who belong to Christ Jesus have done what? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And so when we think about salvation is nearer than when we first believe. Today is a day of salvation. Well, I thought we're just talking future. All we have is today as far as making our lives right before God. We're talking about behaving properly by clothing yourself. We think about passages of scripture in the Bible. In Galatians chapter 3, notice what the Bible says here. Been talking about as far as the law of Moses was a tutor. We aren't under the law of Moses today, and I'm sure all of us are thankful for that. It was a very difficult law to obey. There was some provision for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins. All it could do is point out concerning your sins and then be rolled forward year by year. But here, the law as a tutor become to lead us to Christ, verse 24, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, under the old law. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have what? Have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's the same Greek word that is used in duo there in Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. As far as clothing yourself or behaving yourselves properly, as in the day, clothing yourself. When you think about concerning baptism, we are naked before God. And as you think about concerning, hey, I haven't been baptized. And we think about all things are ready, come to the feast. Remember, there was one who was without wedding clothes. You think about concerning obeying the gospel and being clothed with Christ. Putting on Christ, the old King James would say here. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. And so as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, salvation is nearer than when we first believe. We are making sure each day of our lives, we are examining ourselves and we're putting off these sinful things and we're putting on God's armor of light. And if we're doing that, we're not going to make provision for the flesh to fulfill forbidden desires. And if when we fail, we confess our sins, knowing that he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where are you tonight? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins or you need to be restored, this is the time, this is the opportunity. Since salvation is nearer than when we first believed, if you're not right with God, do it. Right now, as we stand and sing the psalm and curse.